You're listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in La Mesa, California. For more information about Shepherd of the Valley, visit our website at www.svlc.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
So this is Jesus on a road trip around Galilee. Last week he was up in Capernaum, if you remember that, where he healed the centurion's son from a distance. Do you remember that story last week? That was in the northern part of Galilee, and that's verses 1 through 10. And what I just shared with you are verses 11 through 17. Now Jesus approaches a much smaller town, a more out-of-the-way town called Nain, which is further south and west and more desert than Capernaum. But it's still in that same region, so we see Jesus is on a little summer road trip. And this passage that we have before us today is just quintessentially Lucan. Did anybody read the book of Luke this last week? We're diving back into Luke now, so I'd encourage you to put that book on your summer reading list as well, because we've been away from Luke for a little while. We've been in the Gospel of John. Now we're back in Luke, and we'll be swimming and playing in Luke all summer long and into the fall. So I would still encourage you to read the whole Gospel of Luke so you see these stories in some context. But today's story in particular taps into the major themes of Luke. It is quintessentially Lucan. It's the Lucan sampler platter, or the taster, right smack in the middle of the book at chapter 7. And one of those themes today is Jesus meeting people, you and me, on the outskirts of town, on the margins, on the edge. Not sure how you hear that. It's an interesting story about a crowd that's with Jesus and then another crowd that's coming out of the town, and they meet on the border, on the margins, on the edge. How do you hear that? The edge. Maybe the edge of faith. Maybe the edge of life and death. Maybe the edge of society. Like an outcast. Here in the story, Jesus comes toward a town as the people of the town are coming outside its walls. And there is an opportunity when we are at the edge. There is an opening of some kind when we are at the edge. A time where Jesus moves in. Some of the most significant moments and insights in my own life have been while I was exhausted. It's when I also tend to be far more susceptible to tears, to crying. I don't know if that's true for you all as well. Where you have these insights when you're most tired and most vulnerable. I guess that's where we can be at the edge. We could crash any minute, so there's this opening. I've talked about my grandpa before here, 89-year-old widower. He's very susceptible to tears. His whole life, he's a stoic German pastor. And now you can't even have a conversation with him without him breaking down, sometimes over the smallest thing in my thought, in my nice and rested and middle-aged life. I think, oh, what's his problem? But he's crying all the time. Well, he's at the edge of life and death, perhaps. At Christmas time, he signed his card, "See you in heaven," he said. Some in our family are really concerned about that. I don't know. I thought that was a wonderful statement of faith as well, just very honest. He's at the edge of life and death. And Jesus meets us on the edge. And not just the emotional edge or the spiritual edge, but also the societal edge. Jesus here in this story meets a widow. And do you know, widows in those days were at the very bottom of society. They were those who were no longer under the shelter of anyone's wing. That's the way the world worked then. They were no longer under anyone's wing. Widows were nobody. And that's where this mother of the young dead man was headed. She was headed out of town to be a nobody too. Her son would have offered her a sheltering wing, but he's just died. And that funeral procession outside the walls, presumably to dump the body, to put it crudely, may as well have dumped both bodies, because that widow was walking out to become nothing. And this is where Jesus approaches. Where in our world are bodies dumped, discarded, ignored, or just plain overlooked? Where in our world is that happening? Yet this is precisely where Jesus approaches, sisters and brothers in Christ. Then it says that he sees her, first of all, and has compassion for this widow. That fantastic Greek word is splagitzomai, that word for compassion, splagitzomai. It means Jesus' guts literally rolled over for her. He was so moved that Jesus actually has a physical reaction in his guts to her suffering. Writhing innards. That's our God. That's our God, sisters and brothers in Christ. Not a God who's far off and could care less when we're sad or scared, launching sentimental platitudes from on high. No. The God who made us is the God whose guts turn over when we're hurting, when we're grieving, when we're alone, when we're angry, or when we're on the edge. Our God has splagitzomai for us and approaches all those in this time too who are on the edge. Then the same Jesus touches the bier. And that's not the kind of bier that I like. The bier is the flat bed upon which the dead body is laid. The dead body touches that bier, and Jesus touches the bier, and suddenly everything stops. Everyone stops. You have to remember that in this time there were two categories of people. There were the clean people and the unclean people, and a dead person, and a widow too for that matter. You can guess what side they fell on. everyone stops because another boundary is being crossed because Jesus reaches out and touches death itself. And then he speaks life into it. Young man, I say to you, rise, get up. In a minute, we're going to sing that great African-American spiritual. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I was looking at the history of this song. The earliest publication of this song, we've sung this before, I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. The earliest publication is 1971 by Episcopalians. No offense to our Episcopalian brothers and sisters, but I am fairly positive that this song has been around a lot longer than 1971. It's another example of oral tradition that gets passed on. Some say it's hundreds of years old. It's a song creed. It's a statement of belief set to music. I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. Jesus touches death and raises us up. We'll sing that song in just a little bit. But just in case you think that the text of this song and this gospel text doesn't apply to you, we have verse 2. Satan had me bound. Jesus lifted me. I used to laugh at this verse. Like, oh my gosh, this is so archaic. Nobody talks about Satan anymore except in comedy sketches or on Hollywood movies. But then it occurs to me that I have the potential for evil in my deepest being. Evil thoughts, sadly, it's true. Hurtful words, absolutely. Hurtful words and caustic actions. Don't be fooled, sisters and brothers. Oh, Satan does try to bind us. Try to center us on ourselves and on the things of this world. Oh, how we can be disciples of evil. Rapper Lupe Fiasco has one of the most haunting songs I've ever heard. I don't know how many rappers, rap fans we have here. I don't know. Okay, none. Okay, that's all right. Well, rapper Lupe Fiasco has one of the most haunting songs I've ever heard before. It's called Put You On Game from his album The Cool, where the listener has to infer that the words of the song are from the perspective of the evil one, from Satan. The last and most horrifying line of the song is, this is from the voice of the evil one, I hope your bullet holes become mouths that sing my name. I hope your bullet holes become mouths that sing my name, the evil one says. It is such a haunting image. And there's this echo of gunshots through the song. Oh God, Satan has us bound in so many ways. But Jesus approaches, sisters and brothers in Christ, and speaks life into our death. And so we sing a different name. Jesus' words rise in a counter echo, an echo through the scriptures in stark contrast to the echo of gunfire and violence in our world. We sing a different name. We don't have to be carried out in a coffin for Jesus to raise us either. Jesus lifts you now, sisters and brothers. Jesus frees you now. Jesus forgives you now, this day, clean slate, as you go out. And then Jesus hands us over. Just like Jesus hands over the son who's been raised. Jesus hands him over to his mother, the text says, and she's restored. Just like Jesus hands him over, Jesus hands you over back to the community, back to those who love and care for you, and even those you don't know, so that you can care for us, so that we can care for you. It works both ways, you see. That young man is going to be cared for by his dear mother in the story, but he's going to protect her again also. In this cold, widow-forgetting society, it works both ways. And now Jesus raises you up, hands you over to this good community, to this world, for you to take care of us and for us to take care of you. This is our God, approaching us in our sorrow and fear, pain and sin, stopping everything for a moment with a compassionate, life-altering, gut-wrenching touch. And then a word, rise. and then restoring our life and our relationships, handing us over to the world and our community so that we can care and be cared for. Works both ways when the Holy Spirit gets in there. And finally, the last scene of this gospel text. We are invited, like the crowd, like the large crowd of old, we are invited to bear witness to the things God has done. The crowd saw it and they went out. We are invited too to go and tell. Those final verses are like a throwback to the Christmas story earlier in the Gospel of Luke. I don't know if you caught that. I suppose this whole story is a repeat pattern of the Christmas story. This story, in the middle of the summer, death, sadness, nighttime, sin, it's everywhere, but Jesus approaches at the margins of the town, like the stable, the outskirts, and Jesus touches down where no one touches. Jesus touches death, stinky, barnyard animals, stable, unclean. Jesus meets the old, worthless widow or the young, poor maiden and the drunken, mangy shepherds. Jesus meets those on the edge of society, and right into the midst of it all comes new life with a word, rise. And we, the crowd, like the shepherds or the angels or both, get to go sing this story. We get to sing the story, an alternate vision. We glorify God. We spread the word throughout the countryside. Let us go and tell this good news now, for God has looked favorably upon this world and upon us. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Amen.
From all of us at Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit www.elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day.